Hey guys, welcome back to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. Thank you for joining me this week, and I am so glad that you're here.
So what really is a smear campaign? So smear campaign is basically where someone who is narcissistic or has traits, someone who's mentally not really the healthiest, it's their way of creating a story that depicts you as the bad character and they're the helpless victim. Essentially, in a nutshell, that's what it is. So why someone who's narcissistic will do this is because they have an agenda. Number one, you are no longer a good source of narcissistic supply, and they want other people to be as upset with you as they are with you for not giving them what it is they needed in the relationship. Now, what did they need in the relationship? You were probably the best girlfriend, the best wife, the best husband, the best partner, boyfriend, the best person ever. You're human, so you're not perfect, but for the most part, you're a caring, loving, giving person. So what else could this narcissist have actually needed from you? What they needed was control. What they needed was to be able to manipulate you. What they needed was for them to be able to do whatever they wanted to do, behave however they wanted to behave, and have no one ever challenge them or hold them accountable. That's essentially what a narcissist needs. I need you to show me that I am a perfect human and that I do no wrong. And if you can't do that, I will discard you. Or if you can't do that, I will abuse you. So because you are not a good source of narcissistic supply, they are wanting, or they begin forming these stories that they have to, number one, convince themselves. So before a smear campaign happens where they begin going around telling family, friends, coworkers, their new partner that they're possibly either cheating on you with or their next victim, they begin spreading all these stories about you. And the reason why they do that is because they have to, number one, convince themselves of this story. So in their minds, they have already convinced themselves that you're the problem, that this is the issue, and they have created the story within their own mind. And now they begin spreading it out to the world so they can convince the world that, yes, you're absolutely right. You get the validation that this person is crazy, that this person is overdramatic, that this person is this, or whatever the smear campaign is, whatever the story is that they're kind of putting out there to the world. So within the smear campaign, what they do is they, again, create a story. So the story is that they're the helpless victim, and they're the loving, devoted partner, and they can do no wrong. They're doing all the right things in this relationship, and you are just not the healthiest person, the best partner. You do this wrong, you do that wrong. I'm not getting what I need out of this relationship, etc., etc. So really what they're doing is they're starting to attack your character and who you are as a person. And a lot of this stuff could be completely false stories, or it could be things that are just twisted in a certain way to make them look like they're the poor innocent victim and you're the bad guy. Now, usually smear campaigns can happen in any relationship with someone who's narcissistic, as I have something on my lip, sorry, little hair. But a lot of the times when this happens, it really is romantic relationships. But like I said, it can be a relationship, sister, brother, mother, daughter, friendships, coworkers, things like that. The reason why, if it's not a romantic relationship, when this tends to happen is because sometimes you have traits that you have and you are the person that you are, and the narcissist, because they know they're not that person, it's almost like they resent you for it and they despise you for it. And so they want other people to not view you in such a way, in such a high regards. So they begin these kind of, again, sometimes they don't have to be like completely false fabricated stories. They could just be like these little slight manipulation stories where they're starting to kind of plant these seeds because they want other people to not view you in the way that people typically do view you. So a lot of this is jealousy, because a lot of it is insecurity on the narcissist's part. When it comes to romantic relationships, a lot of the times when the smear campaigns happen, it's because they want out. They want out of the relationship, or possibly they're grooming their next victim. And so they're spreading all of these kind of stories amongst family and friends so they can kind of like set the tone for when the discard happens and they bring in this new person. So it'll be a situation where it's like, oh, you know, this relationship was so bad with this person that that's why I had to end it. Oh, and here comes the love of my life. And it's just like this cycle that happens like over and over again with these people. And then what'll happen is they'll end up either discarding you out of the blue and like bringing in this new person. And this new person has heard all of these stories from the narcissist and actually doesn't know what happened behind closed doors. They have no idea who it is that they're really now in a relationship with because they immediately believe that person. For me, anytime I've ever been in a relationship, and this is even prior to my toxic relationship that I was in previously, even way in my early 20s when I was dating, anytime I met a man that would talk bad about their ex, and quite frankly, now in hindsight, I don't remember ever being in a relationship with someone who really, really spoke badly about someone that they dated. So note taken on that. But for me, I always, or if you like met the person that said, oh, my ex is crazy, I would always be like, well, why is that person crazy? I never believed that there was a crazy person or a crazy ex. Don't get me wrong. There are some people that are mentally ill and they do things that are not healthy whatsoever. Totally get that. But there's a difference between discussing those things that happened in your previous relationship versus kind of bashing someone's character. So always be kind of mindful when you are dating how someone does speak about their ex. Again, doesn't mean that maybe they themselves were in a relationship with someone who was mentally ill or a psychopath or a narcissist and they were completely abusive to that person. But the conversation sounds much differently when you're talking about a previous relationship where it was really, really toxic and unhealthy and you were dealing with abuse versus talking just badly about someone. So just be mindful of that. So now the biggest thing is, how do we deal with these smear campaigns? And I'm gonna say this and some people may not like it. A lot of your reaction to smear campaigns is your ego, because you don't want anyone, first of all, you're so disgusted and insulted how this narcissist or this person could even say these things when some of them are lies and some of the stories are completely twisted and that's not really how it happened and like all of that kind of stuff. And I totally get that. But the big part is, you don't want someone else to hear this story and believe the story and think and look at you in a different way. So what I always say is, if you really, instead of like fighting against the wave, because this wave is happening, okay? These smear campaigns are going out. People are hearing a side of a story. And if you really, really know the person you're going toe-to-toe with in terms of the smear campaign, you'll know that they're very charming. They're very witty, like any other narcissist. They're very likable type of a person. They're able to really manipulate stories and are very, very convincing. And again, people don't know what happened behind closed doors. So people are just hearing stories and believing them because this person is so believable. They hooked you, they hooked their new partner. So obviously something about the way that they communicate, you know, draws people into them. So instead of fighting against the wave that's happening, it's, you have to learn how to just kind of coast with it. And I'm not saying, you know, agree with what everything that that person is saying or just not do anything at all. But really what this has to do with is your own energy, how you respond to all of these things. So the first thing is, never, ever, ever try to defend yourself in such a way that it comes from this lack place. So it's one thing to defend yourself in a healthy way, and it's another thing to defend yourself in a very angry, bitter, I can't believe this is happening, aggressive type of a way. So the reason why this is so powerful is because confidence is the healthiest outfit you can wear. I don't know, I feel like that's a quote somewhere. But it's really, really true. So I think there's a saying out there like, confidence is silent and insecurities are loud. So the more you kind of maintain your composure and you maintain that level of grace and you don't, you know, overreact with something, that shows really who's the person that's immature and who's the person that's healthy. Who's the person that's really confident? Who's the person that's really insecure? So for me, I always wanted to continue to be myself. And I never felt like I had to prove my story or myself to anyone. So it wasn't, I wasn't about to take on the full-time job of running around town trying to defend myself to every person and every story that was probably going around about my situation. I didn't feel the need to do that. I mean, it's different because I'm a coach, but before I was even a coach and I was going through all of my stuff, there were probably tons of things that were being said and rumors that were going around, and it really didn't, honestly, it didn't bother me because I knew my story, I knew my truth, and I knew that it was just this person's way of, again, almost like exposing themselves. So I knew that silence is so powerful and golden, and people will see situations for what they are, and people that have good, healthy values will see a situation and understand it rather than believing someone's stories and fabrications because possibly they themselves don't hold the same values as I do, if that makes sense. So for me, that was really, really powerful. And again, it allowed me to not carry that huge load of negative, toxic energy because I was all about, all right, I am moving on from this experience. I'm learning as much as I can from this experience. I'm allowing this person to teach me in every sense of the word. And some of the teachings were really painful that I had to go through and really learning from this person and rising above like all of the BS. Like, in order to really elevate yourself, you have to practice all of those things. So when I was going through my stuff, I looked at every opportunity as practice. It was practice for me to kind of rise up from what someone else was saying about me to what was going on in my own head to insecurities that I probably were carrying around with me about what happened. So it's all an opportunity to kind of parent yourself constantly, time and time again. Parenting yourself and having a healthy inner dialogue is something that you should be doing. You are doing it actually every single day and every single moment. So because you're always having inner conversations with yourself. So I always looked at those opportunities as a chance to, you know, grieve if I needed to, accept a situation for what it is, because unfortunately I was in this situation and I had to go through this experience, learn as much as I can and rise up, which was for me just to be my authentic self, to be confident, to be graceful, and to not engage with any of that drama and negativity because I was all about trying to manifest and create like the life I wanted to live and have. And I knew that if I went down that rabbit hole and fought everything, that's the energy that doesn't allow me to attract the things that I really want to attract into my life. And it doesn't bring me peace. And at the end of the day, my happiness, my peace is the most important no matter what anyone thinks or what they have to say. Now, of course, when someone's like really making up complete false stories of you, it's fine to tell your side of the story. But again, the biggest difference between healthy and not healthy, the biggest difference in energy towards really manifesting what you want and having the life you want, and quite frankly, the most important thing for people to really see a situation for what it is going to be you and how you carry yourself. So like I said, if you want to fight the wave and go against it and talk bad about the person as well and tell your side of the story and, well, this happened, whatever, all you're going to look like is bitter and angry. So if you can tell your side of the story in a very graceful, calming way and not tell it trying to convince people to see your side and agree with you, you're just telling it just to tell your truth, and it just is, and it's a matter of fact, and there's no real negative or anger or that kind of toxic emotion attached to the story that you want to tell. So I think that's the biggest difference with smear campaigns and how to handle them in a healthy way.